Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Over the past year, Congressman Jason Chaffetz honored two Utahns who claimed they received military honors when, in fact, they had not. That kind of deception is what the Stolen Valor Act criminalized. But last Thursday, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the act on First Amendment grounds. Today on the program, we're talking about the decision and getting reaction from local veterans. Joining me in studio is Dr. Kim Zarkin. She is an associate professor of communication at Westminster College. She has a PhD in media law from the University of Florida, and she specializes in the First Amendment and recently presented on the Stolen Valor Act at a conference in Las Vegas. Dr. Zarkin joins me in studio. Dr. Zarkin, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, happy to be here.
Also with us by phone is James Terrio. He is the state commander of the Utah chapter of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. And James, thanks so much to you for your time as well.
Thank you. It's an honor to do this.
And if you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Before we get into some of the background on the Stolen Valor Act, I'd like to get your reaction to the ruling last Thursday. James Terrio, what did you think about that, and what are Utah vets telling you about the Stolen Valor Act decision?
Well, we're really quite disappointed that it got struck down, because it's not only is it illegal, or should be illegal, for somebody to wear medals they're not entitled to, but it depreciates the men that did win that medal by having someone come in and say, oh, I got the Silver Star, I got the Purple Heart. Well, the people that really got those, that deserve that honor, can't get the honor because they're being downgraded by these other people.
James Terrio, how common are those false claims?
More and more in the last 5 years, I would say, than they've ever been before. But it's easier to trip one up than it ever has been before, such as taking the name and going online, and you can go into the Purple Heart Association. They'll give you a list of all people that have received the Purple Heart since World War II. And then they got another association for the Silver Star and so on. So it's not real hard to identify somebody as being a fake. It just takes a little time to do it.
Hmm.
There was a gentleman in Salt Lake that the last 3 years, every year, University of Utah was honoring him as a POW. And then this year it was found out that he had never been overseas, let alone a POW.
Dr. Zarkin, give us some background on this law, the Stolen Valor Act, passed back in 2005.
2006, actually. Okay. December 2006, it was signed by President Bush. You know, it's one of those laws that is about, we call it symbolic politics. It's about reacting to an emotional issue and trying to use a legislative solution to solve a problem that maybe has other solutions. I think the databases that were mentioned are also something the court took into consideration, that the information is available. And so it really was about, you know, it was tied to the law that made manufacturing the medal and wearing the medals illegal, but it expanded it to cover what is considered in the Supreme Court pure speech.
So prior to the Stolen Valor Act, you could wear a medal, or you could not wear a medal. That was a crime, but you could talk about it.
Yes.
So this just made it, you know, hey, you can't brag about something you didn't do.
Yes. It was, you know, the thing that caught the attention of a lot of the First Amendment, the people who follow First Amendment, is it really was about the pure speech, because it's already illegal to get benefits. It would already be illegal to, say, accept a trip to Disney World because you're a decorated veteran. And so this was really about the pure talking.
The talking part of it. We're talking about the Stolen Valor Act, which the Supreme Court struck down last Thursday. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. With us on the phone is James Terrio. He is the commander of the Utah chapter of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. And in studio, Dr. Kim Zarkin, a First Amendment specialist and associate professor at Westminster College. So, Dr. Zarkin, just walk us through the decision. Last Thursday, today, as I mentioned, the Supreme Court weighed in on the Stolen Valor Act. On what grounds did they strike it down?
Basically, it was this idea that it was pure speech. And when we regulate pure speech in this country, we regulate it against a standard of the First Amendment, which says Congress shall make no law. And basically what the court was balancing was this notion of what is the harm versus how much speech gets caught up in it. And where the there was a little bit of a split between the six justices who voted to strike down as to what obscure constitutional path to choose. But basically, it came down to the fact that we don't regulate speech in this country if we can avoid it. We regulate very narrow areas of speech. And I'm the daughter of a Purple Heart winner, so I am very sympathetic to what the VFW is saying and what a lot of people are saying. But what First Amendment scholars are concerned about are what we call a slippery slope, the idea of where do we stop regulating lying? In this country, we try to not regulate speech, and that was what I was taught my father won his medals for. Mm. And so, and that's what he always taught me. And so it really does come down to this question of, you know, if somebody walks into a bar and starts bragging, is that really something we should put them in jail for? Or is it better, as the court said, to advocate for more speech, which is public humiliation of being shown a liar, which is what happened to Alvarez in this decision. He had been bragging. I think he was on the water board in his town, and he was publicly humiliated.
This is Xavier Alvarez, the mm-hmm. one who challenged the federal law, got a big win when the Stolen Valor Act was struck down. And yet, I mean, we talk about not benefiting, but I think that he used his credentials, his military honors, as a campaign, you know, issue. Like he was saying, look at me, I'm a decorated military veteran, therefore I deserve your vote for the community water board. So isn't that a benefit, Dr. Zarkin?
It is, but think about the commensurate public humiliation that came with it. I don't know that he will ever be able to keep his head up in his community. And the Supreme Court sort of came down on the side that it's better to have more speech than less speech. And it is a difficult emotional decision. Again, I wake up every day and I see the flag that was folded over my father's coffin at Arlington because of his service in Vietnam. And I understand, but we, you know, there's an idea within the First Amendment that we have to protect the speech we hate. That it's easy to protect the speech we love, but the speech we hate is a little harder, and it's a little bit more of a test of our First Amendment.
Hmm. So, James Theriault, you're disappointed at the decision, but can you understand the argument that freedom of expression should trump people who could lie? I mean, that's one of the freedoms that we fight for in this country. What do you think of that, James Theriault?
As far as them lying about whether they have a medal or not, to me, there's a very distinct separation between telling somebody, oh, I got such and such a medal, and somebody going out and getting one and wearing it in public and giving interviews to the press saying, I got a Medal of Honor in Iraq. See me, I'm a hero. And finding out he was never in Iraq. And he had never left the States. We had this situation a year ago with a young man, and it turned out he was telling everybody how much of a hero he was, and he was wearing the medals on a Class A Army uniform with E8, which is a high-ranking NCO rank on his shoulder. And then it turned out that he was in Korea. He was never over in the Middle East. Now, that's the kind of stuff that irritates most veterans.
Hmm. And that is still illegal. You can't wear the Alvarez case did not strike down that part of the law. So wearing the medals is actually still illegal. It's just, it's the speaking about them. And so he could still be arrested under the rest of the law.
But we've only got about a minute left. But Dr. Zarkin, what kind of penalty do you think is appropriate? I mean, as a First Amendment expert, obviously the speech should be free, and you know. But I mean, should people be able to just lie, embellish, to deceive people if they're not getting a direct financial benefit? I mean, where's that line?
It's a tough line to draw. But it's the question of where do we actually draw it? What other lies would be considered unacceptable in the government's eyes? We regulate, for example, advertising in this country, but we don't regulate political speech. Our politicians, depending on your position, lie all the time. At what point can we stop? And really, how do we get to the truth? I keep coming back to what the Supreme Court said, is it's better to have somebody lie and be caught than it is to send somebody to jail for a year for simply talking, which goes against our fundamental freedoms. And that's the biggest thing, is a jail for a year, federal prison, is a pretty high penalty for bragging.
And James Terriuk, about 10 seconds, but what more do you think could be done to prevent people from lying about their military record?
Well, the way we feel, or the way I feel, is that somebody who's bragging about it is just bragging, especially if they're drunk or something of that nature. You know, when this whole thing came up, one of my favorite lines was say, well, yeah, I won 5 Congressional Medal of Honors on one day.
I'm so sorry, James. I'm going to have to leave it there. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.